there is so much to us as humans, as beings, as like the miracle of existence that does not fit into our ideas or like what our parents taught us about what's true, you know, or how we define ourselves based on our job.
Welcome to the Wise Millennial Podcast. Join host Peter Noble Darrow as he interviews entrepreneurs building modern community. What brings us together? What motivates us? What are we really seeking in life, deep to our core? Great question. We can often be trapped in limited ways of thinking. So let's challenge millennial culture together. The truth is, we are more alike than we are different. This is your community. You are a wise millennial.
I'm here with Tasha Blank, renowned DJ and founder of The Get Down. Hello, Tasha.
Hey, hey.
I'm so excited to chat with you. And I've wanted to learn more about you for over a year now. And so I'm really glad that we were finally able to connect. So thank you so much.
Yes, me too.
Briefly explain, what is The Get Down?
What is The Get Down? Well, until COVID, The Get Down was the best dance party in New York City, I would say. Of its kind, for sure. We actually, the last party we had was our 7-year anniversary, beginning of March last year. So we made it to exactly 7 years, dancing every other Thursday in some of the most amazing clubs in New York. And what we did was take over those clubs before they opened for regular night hours. So we would go from about 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And it was this beautiful hybrid of sort of the best of dance and club culture. And, you know, we had these incredible venues, House of Yes, Cielo, Output, Verboten, like all sorts of, like always an amazing sound system, beautiful spaces, the vibe, the lights. And combined with, in my opinion, kind of the best elements of what you might call a conscious dance or an ecstatic dance floor, where everyone really is there to move. They're there to connect to themselves. They're there to connect to each other. They're there to be present. They're not there. Like a lot of times when you go to a club or a party, a lot of folks will go to check out. They'll go to escape. They'll go to get super drunk or hide out or whatever. Right. And a lot of times at those types of parties, people aren't even really dancing. So The Get Down is kind of the opposite of that. People come to wake up, to check in, to remember themselves, to come alive, to express, to scream, to sweat, to like, let to unleash the fullness of their humanity together. And one of the ways that we created that kind of environment that was that hybrid that, you know, what I love about club spaces is that it's a lot more welcoming to people who wouldn't normally go to like a barefoot dance in a yoga studio. You know, it's like, it's, right. It opens it up to a lot more kinds of people. You can keep your shoes on. Like, it's a cool space. You've heard about it. You've read about it in magazines. You can have a drink at the bar when you first get there if you're nervous. And we also kept that dance space super sacred and alive by not allowing drinks on the dance floor. So we had 3 rules that preserve the integrity of the dance floor while keeping it, I think, really open and welcoming to a lot of people, which was no drinks on the dance floor, no phones at all. You know, you could have one on you, you had to keep it in your pocket. Like you wouldn't, and if somebody was caught, like checking their phone or something, a party regular or volunteer would come tap them on the shoulder and be like, hey, you want to come dance with me? You want to put your phone away and come dance with me? And then our third rule was to love and respect each other, which really is more nuanced, of course, and was an evolving conversation around consent, around how do we take care of each other on the dance floor? How do we wild out fully and also make space for each other and, you know, not necessarily thrash around so hard that we hurt somebody?
Well, I think that those are three rules for life. I think those are good life rules generally.
Yeah.
And we'll get to the COVID, you know, aspect of that for sure, because that's an interesting part of it. But, you know, for me, I mean, it feels like the millennial version of Studio 54. You know, it's like the coolest. I guess we'll speak, I don't know, past tense, future tense. It was, it will be, you know, kind of the most fun dance party out there. It's like the archetypical millennial community. And at face value, it seems so simple, right? It's centered around dance, but it's actually much deeper than that and touches many social issues, right? In terms of inclusivity, stereotypes, gender, race, et cetera. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, the dance floor is a microcosm for life. You really, it's a place where everything comes up. You know, we're unshackled from the norms and the structures that run the rest of our days and our lives and our interactions. And we're actually put into an environment where the only structure necessarily bringing us together are those three rules, which create that safety, and the beat, the rhythm, which is the only thing that everyone is like entraining themselves to. So it creates a laboratory where we're free to explore different ways of being in community and being in connection and being ourselves with other humans. Like, we get to explore what else is possible.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Tell me about your upbringing just briefly. I mean, I know you attended NYU. Did you grow up in New York City? How would you define your childhood?
I was raised in between, just outside Washington, D.C. and Minneapolis. So okay. I got a couple of different cultures in there, some East Coast intelligentsia, Washington.
My mom lives in Minneapolis right now.
Okay, yes. So that like beautiful, what a mecca in the middle of the Midwest that
totally.
I got some heavy doses of outdoorsiness and the like life calluses you build when you live in a place that gets to 30 below zero. I loved growing up there. And I was raised, you know, there's obviously a lot I could say about my childhood, but I was always encouraged to explore my artistry. I started dance when I was in elementary school. I grew up around a lot of music. My dad's a jazz pianist, and the music I grew up on was kind of a combination of jazz and West African drumming. That's what was always on in my house. So those I would say are my early influences musically.
But it was a very artistic household.
Creativity was definitely encouraged. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I know you've spoken previously about trauma and depression and eating disorders, feeling defeated. Mm-hmm. What advice can you share about trauma healing, other than dancing being the cure?
Well, we could do an entire podcast series on that, answering I'm that sure. question. I would say that what wants to come through in this moment, every addiction, every symptom, every disorder you might label, I would, you know, dare to say is our system's best shot at tending to trauma. It's our best shot at taking care of ourselves. So if we have an addictive behavior, that's because there's pain. And this is the best way in that moment our system knows how to tend to ourselves so that we can feel better. And I mean, this is such a big conversation, but trauma is something that happens in the body, something that is stored in the nervous system. The way that I like to define trauma is, because a lot of people will think of, oh, well, you know, a traumatic experience happens to people who are in war or people who go through horrible abuse. And that's actually, it's not actually, I don't think, useful to define trauma based on the external event that occurs. It's about what happens in the system. And all that's required for trauma to get stored in the system is too much, too fast.
Totally. It's not, you know, it's not the quantitative factor, you know, it's about how you perceive it, how you internalize it, and what healing you've done, you know, to try to amend it. It's not about, we all deal with trauma in different ways, and it doesn't have to be this like extreme severe. I mean, those obviously are part of it and can be part of it, but it's your perception to it. And then how you internalize it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happens is that we'll experience something that's too much too fast. Our system cannot process it. And then it gets locked somewhere in the body, it gets stored in the body. And with it, that part of ourselves then gets locked in time. That it gets tied and locked up in that moment where the trauma occurred. And what is required for trauma to resolve, because trauma is actually, it's a process. Like it's not a disorder. It's a process that our body actually knows very well how to go through, but often isn't allowed to complete.
Well, I'm interested. I'm trying to connect the dot between, especially for you personally, in your life, between kind of, you know, the traumas and struggles that you went through, mm-hmm. and connecting that to the get down and how that may have been the solution, if you will, or the out, or the, resolution to some of those personal struggles.
Totally. Yeah. Well, so I was always really, really shy. I had a lot of social anxiety. I had a lot of inhibitions, and there was a lot like, and I also have a lot of energy. I have a lot to express. I have a lot of emotion and art that wants to move through me that wasn't getting out. It didn't have an outlet because I felt very inhibited when I was using words, when I was talking with people, when I was in relationship. And dance became a place where I suddenly had this outlet for all the things I didn't know how to put into words, all the things that I hadn't been able to express, all the ways that I hadn't been able to connect with myself. I got to connect with and express and move my sadness through my body, move my anxiety through my body, move my anger through my body. And ultimately that opened me up to experience and connect with my beauty, with my love, with the part of myself that is at ease with other people, that loves people so much. You know, there's room. Like once you go under the words, you get out of that headspace of trying to make sense of everything. It gave my body a chance to do what it knows how to do, which is unwind all of that trauma, all that inhibition, all those beliefs about who I am and how I'm supposed to be around other people. And it gave me the opportunity to really connect with and find and express who I truly am.
You know, it's interesting because, I mean, so often we think of dance as being, you know, recreational and fun, which it is. But I guess I underestimated the connection between dance and and healing and recovery, mm-hmm. and kind of the psychological effect, the healing effect of dance. Mm-hmm. I guess I underestimated that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I think it's so normalized in our society that we spend all this time walking around just living from the neck up. As I think my teacher, Gabrielle Roth, used to talk about that. She's an amazing, she is one of the teachers who really taught me a lot about dance as medicine. And we're so used to, we talk on these Zoom screens all day long. We're looking at each other from the neck up. We're seeing the world through our intellectual understanding of it. And like, there is so much to us as humans, as beings, as like the miracle of existence that does not fit into our ideas or like what our parents taught us about what's true, you know, or how we define ourselves based on our job. There's so much to us, and our bodies are these brilliant systems that, like I said, like all animals in the wild, know exactly how to unwind themselves and heal themselves. Just like when you get a cut on your finger, it heals itself. Like that's what our bodies are doing all day long, is repair, reset, heal, without our minds having anything to do with that process. And it's our minds that take us out of and disconnect us from our bodies that are the only thing that can really interfere with that process. So when we put ourselves in environments that give the mind a freaking break, right? Like, okay, put the to-do list on the back burner, put your agendas, your worries, like all the stuff you've been swirling around in your head all day, and just be with this music, be with this beat, and let your body run the show just for the next couple hours. What happens is that our entire nervous system transforms. Like it resets, it rewires our brain, it resets all our neurotransmitters and gives us a chance to be reorganized by that natural healing trajectory that our bodies are always on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's all very powerful stuff. And I agree with you. I mean, as on the topic of expression and communication and expressing ourselves, right? And even I want to talk about kind of the topic of inclusivity, because with the Get Down, I mean, it feels like, or let me go from an opposite approach. I mean, mm-hmm. it feels like, I'm curious what has happened with society where it feels like we can't even express ourselves with words, right? We've become so polarized, so overly sensitive to anyone feeling marginalized, that the least controversial thing that we can do is move our bodies. And even that might be politicized or labeled. I don't know. But I mean, is dance the only kind of safe way to express ourselves anymore?
Define safe.
Well, I guess freedom from feeling, you know, persecuted by others, judged by others, or feeling like I don't have to fit into some, you know, stereotype or some kind of label of society, that I can just fully be in alignment with myself, with who I am.
I think living from a place where you're fully aligned with yourself and able to be who you are is something that happens independently of, like, if you're in that place, people are going to have a problem with what you do no matter what. People are going to judge you. Like, people are going to not like you. People are going to not be pleased by how you're expressing yourself no matter what, all the time. And what I love about dance and creating spaces that are explicitly brave. I like brave more than safe. Like,
okay.
Sure. I know even on this dance floor where we're supposedly have permission to express ourselves fully, somebody's definitely going to be judging me for sure. Somebody's going to be thinking I'm super weird, or they're going to think I'm attractive, or they're going to want something, or they're going to want to get far away from me. Like, we can't escape that ever. But it is a beautiful place to practice being aligned and connected with our own source of creativity and that expression that wants to move through us, regardless of what anybody else is thinking or what we perceive other people to be thinking. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you about COVID then and kind of how things have pivoted or changed. I mean, obviously when you're in the event business, right? Mm-hmm. And you're talking about, you know, creating energy and experiencing it with other people, feeding off of their body movements. I mean, it's difficult virtually, but we all need a creative outlet, right? We all need to express ourselves, especially during these kinds of these difficult times. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious how you've been able to pivot, what your thoughts have been as you reflect on this past year.
Yeah. So what it did was take away absolutely all of the extra fanfare. it stripped, because I moved my offerings online. And at first we were doing the virtual get downs and I had special guests coming on and I kind of tried to make it as close to the get down as we had been doing it. We would start with a class, then we would have a guest poet, we would have a guest DJ, we would have live music at the end. And after a couple of months of that, I was super burnt out anyway. I was already burnt out before COVID hit. And I took a couple of months off, completely off the grid. I lived at a monastery and really I just knew that I needed to take a step back from everything and clear my head.
Do you think that you would have, had COVID never happened, hypothetically? I mean, do you think that you would have hit a burnout period at some point? Like, was that just inevitable, waiting to happen, because you were on some unsustainable track? Or I'm just curious if you could elaborate on that.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is I was going to, the first whole part of 2020, I was prepping the New York team to do the Get Down Without Me. And March 19th, we had our 7-year anniversary, March 5th. March 19th was scheduled to be the last Get Down that I played at. And then I was going to take a sabbatical and have other people just have the Get Down run on its own, in its own beautiful, like, it was such a vibrant community. It didn't need me anymore, in the same way. And instead, March 19th was my first virtual broadcast. And then it suddenly became like, we were doing three virtual things a week and all this Zooming. And it was this exciting moment. And then everyone got sick of Zoom and it was summer and I was burnt out and I just needed space. I needed to take that space that I had needed anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've all experienced Zoom burnout at, you know, at some point.
And so when I came back to doing virtual offerings online, I stripped it down completely. So it was just me facilitating with music and people in their living rooms and just the dance, like just the music and the dance, just getting people in their bodies and stripping away everything extra. And it's become even, you know, less of a, cause like the Get Down is cool. I mean, it's not about being cool. You definitely don't, it's not cool in a way. But it's so cool because it's not cool. Anyway,
I totally understand. it's not about being a cool kid, but it's cool because everyone's there just being themselves.
Yeah, it's so great. But this, because of what this year has done to our nervous systems, the my work has leaned in the direction of unwinding trauma, of this being the place that people come to get fed, to reconnect to their bodies, to unwind all that tension, to reconnect to joy, to their sexiness, to just this simple act of moving, and in that rhythmic motion, moving closer to who they really are and tapping into the fullness of who they really are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious of like some of your competitors, like Daybreaker, you know, or what makes you different, or what's the magic sauce that kind of differentiates you from other dance-infused concepts?
Mm. I mean, I definitely don't consider them competition at all. I love Daybreaker; like, they're my total friends, and I love what they do. And if we were to compare the in-person events, I would say Daybreaker is probably even more of a, what's the word? Gateway drug to dancing. Okay. Like it's even more novel. They have a lot of performers. They have all kinds of sponsors and like fun stuff that draws people in. So it's really fun for somebody who just like doesn't even dance to come. And then somebody who comes to Daybreaker and falls in love with it because we have a lot of overlap in people who dance at both events.
I'm sure.
Somebody who's there, who comes to the Get Down regularly, will probably like tap that person on the shoulder and be like, hey, let me tell you about this other party. It's even crazier. And I would say there's more. The Get Down it's more cathartic. It's more wild. It's at night, so it's a different vibe. It's sweatier. It's like more intense.
Sure. Although, but interestingly, I mean, you promote kind of sobriety. I mean, you promote, or at least no drinks on the dance floor. Maybe not sobriety, but you know, a lot of these, events dancing can often be associated with drinking or drug use, you know, Burning Man festivals, right? But you kind of promote the opposite of that, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, dance and music are, in my opinion, they're the best drug, and they will take you to all the places you really want to go. Like the reasons that people take substances, dance and music can take you to all those places. Mm. And that's when I first fell in love with freeform dancing, when I was at Burning Man, and, you know, dancing to electronic music for the first time, I was definitely on substances, you know, and that was something that opened my mind up a lot and was very helpful at that time. And at the same time, I knew as soon as I had those first experiences, I was like, I can get here without those substances. I'm going to figure out how. And it's totally possible. It's just a matter of, it's all ways of dropping below our mind chatter. It's all ways of getting out of our heads, out of the circus that is making us miserable all day long. And it takes, you know, if you show up sober to a dance floor, it takes a little bit more discipline than just popping a pill to shut the mind off. But it absolutely will take you there, and you will wake up feeling better the next day instead of worse. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even now more than ever, it's like we need connection. And you know, I'm curious, kind of, have you given any thoughts in terms of, I mean, as we now are slowly transitioning to, you know, a new normal, whatever that may be. I mean, have you given any thoughts about the future of the Get Down, or do you want to be focusing more on kind of the trauma healing work that you're doing?
I'm doing both. You know, I think what's beautiful is now, because of doing things virtually, I've actually started to work with all these people all over the world who not only don't live close to New York, but have kids or are super shy and would never go to a club or have a disability and Like, it's just more comfortable for them to dance in their homes, you know, for any number of reasons, even though the Get Down has a relatively inclusive vibe, it still was excluding a lot of humans. And so being able to offer virtual dances has just opened it up in this incredibly beautiful way. So I'm actually launching a virtual membership platform this month called The Portal. That's going to have two live dances every single week.
It's called the Poor Girl?
The Portal.
The Portal. Excuse the portal. Me. I misheard through Zoom.
The Portal. Yeah.
The
because
portal.
That's what we do. Yeah. Yeah. That's what this dance does. It takes you through a portal into the fullness of who you really are. And it's got all kinds of other love guest teachers. I'm going to text people every single day with new music. It's so, I love this beautiful community that we've cultivated virtually all over. And the portal is going to be the home for everybody to congregate. And I think for this community to grow even more. And yeah, as soon as we can dance in person, I'll definitely be doing outdoor stuff this summer. And when venues start to open, because COVID has actually opened connections up in a more global way because of doing everything online, we're going to be able to do what we were actually planning to do with the Get Down anyway, which is launch it in a bunch of other cities and empower others to be able to run it and have that in-person community, have like these little seed pockets all over of these communities that are growing in real life.
Yeah. I mean, it opens up a whole new demographic, new opportunities, right? When something closes, if you just focus on the closures, if you focus on the negative, you won't see the opportunity. The people that succeed in times of difficulty and transition are the ones who are looking for the opportunity. And when you realize when one door closes, that means another door opens, and you can't be sad about what was. You have to be focused on changing, because we're constantly evolving. We're constantly changing. And the people that will succeed the most coming out of COVID are the ones who are looking forward and seeing how can I capitalize on this new opportunity, not feeling regretful for what they lost.
Yeah. Well, there's even a nuance that I would insert there too, which is that in order to let go of the past, we have to fully let ourselves grieve it and let that sadness happen. And that in the fully allowing ourselves to have all of our grief and all of our sadness, that's what enables us to let go and move forward. Yes. And so if we're stuck wishing that things would go back to the way they were, or just dwelling on the fact that it's not how it was or how much we miss everything, that's because we haven't grieved. And there's a part of us that is not willing to grieve. So that grieving piece, and dance helps with this too. Like, that is something, that grief is something that lives in our bodies as well. And it's something that helps us move through. It helps us. I mean, life is moving and changing all the time, right? And so dancing regularly helps us keep up with that change and let go of the stuff that we need to let go of, feel the stuff we need to feel in order to let go, and move forward into saying yes to the next song.
Right. Totally. You know? My last question to you briefly is just, what is something you wish someone had told you? I usually say 5 years ago, but maybe even a year ago, or that you had told yourself that you wish you had known, or had to learn on your own, but would have made life so much easier had you known.
That it's okay to rest. It's okay to take time off. It's important. It's necessary. That's part of why I burnt out, is because I was just going for so long and trying to prove myself and trying to always get somewhere new And this year, taking that time off really gave me the opportunity to grieve, to let go of what I needed to let go of, to see things from a bigger perspective, to digest everything that had happened, to learn from and take the lessons that I needed to take and receive from everything that's happened in the last decade. And now there's space to create something new. And so that when we do start the Get Down Up in person again, it's going to be different. It's going to be better.
Totally.
You know, it's going to be something. It's going to be like Get Down 8.0 or something.
Yeah. Well, my wise millennial friends, the Get Down was, is, and will be so much more than an epic dance party. Tasha has dedicated herself to create a powerful community of open-minded people who are passionate about self-expression and inner healing. And it is a movement that everyone can benefit from. I encourage everyone to join one of their events and to bring your friends and, most importantly, have fun. Tasha, thank you so much for inspiring us today with your words.
Thank you so much, Peter.
You've been listening to the Wise Millennial Podcast. To join our community and participate IRL, follow us on Instagram at Wise Millennial and go to wisemillennial.com. Do you have a community to share? Leave us a positive review and mention it in the comments. Don't leave us a negative review. That's messed up AF. Tune in next episode for more tips and info about how millennials like us can find true happiness. Until next time, stay wise.